God, I wish I had one of those things at home. It'd be awesome, man. Of course, I live alone, so it wouldn't really make much of a difference. How's everyone doing? Good evening. Welcome to tonight's city council meeting. The meeting is called to order. I kindly ask our city clerk, Mr. Lamberg, to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph Dantino.
Here.
Marty Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Greg Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ray Pollock.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Fantastic. We have a full house tonight, folks. And someone's car alarm on their 86 Vega is going off. Is that yours, Coster?
No, sir.
You didn't even get a seat, man? 30 years, you got to stand up? There's always one in the front row, Jerry, for you.
Yep, that's on camera.
That's true. And there are FCC rules, so thank you very much for not showing your face on camera. Folks, before we begin tonight's meeting, I would like to ask everyone in attendance to join me in a moment of silence for a friend of the community's and a friend of many of ours, Mr. Joe Rago, who we all know and who served with distinction on the Mental Health Board and served the public in many roles through his career as an attorney. And he, as you know, passed away, I believe, on Friday of a courageous battle with pancreatic cancer. His services tonight at Malone Funeral Home, and we want he and his kids and his wife to know that the City Council and the citizens of Geneva are thinking about him. So if we could just bow our head for a moment. Thank you very much. Item 3A tonight is consider the mayor's appointment of Douglas Holzrichter. Oh, excuse me, we got to do a pledge, don't we? Well, in that case, Mr. Holzrichter, please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In case you're curious what these folks up here on the dais do, they whisper, "Hey Burns, you forgot the pledge." So it was a chorus of, "Dear idiot, you forgot to do the pledge." Well, I've already shared with you the secret that Mr. Holzrichter is with us tonight. Douglas. That's very formal, Doug. You prefer Doug, though, don't you?
That would be fine. You bet.
And everyone knows Doug Holzrichter. Everyone has in their packet a copy of Mr. Holzrichter's application. There were approximately 14,000 applications for this vacancy. And Holzrichter's was, of course, the shiny example of who we'd like to have serve with us. I will entertain a motion to so appoint Mr. Holzrichter to the Arts Commission. Motion by Singer, seconded by Hill. Doug, do you want to say anything?
Well, I had better after that wonderful introduction.
Yeah, come on up to the podium, big guy.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here tonight, and really am looking forward to being part of the commission. With me tonight, by the way, is my wife, Elaine, and my daughter, Alyssa, and we are all lifelong Geneva residents, and again, it's wonderful to be here and serve on the commission, and I'm looking forward to it, so thank you.
And where's your son tonight?
My son, he lives in Chicago, so it was a
little figured it would be him who would be appointed first. This guy.
Yeah, no kidding, but he's I had to beat him on something. So
yes, you did.
I had to get ahead of him somehow. But so unfortunately, he could not be with us tonight. But but again, it's wonderful to be here. And I might just share one little story.
Everybody get comfortable.
And since Chief Olson is here, I just wanted to mention that he and I were actually in the same Cub Scout pack in Geneva. I don't know if he remembers that, but I don't mean to embarrass you, but that's true.
Wow. And how many flags were on this? How many stars were on the flag during that time? Not a lot. 16, 17 tops?
There you go.
Wow.
But anyway, great to be here and looking forward to serving.
We all know that Doug is a astute and respected architect and has done extraordinary work on many projects throughout the Fox Valley. And
should be in my marketing department.
I really should be, shouldn't I? Yeah, it was amazing. What are you working on now, man?
Well, as...
The redo of City Hall, gratis.
Yeah, no kidding. Most of our work is in the Park District sector, and we do some municipal work and some country club work, and so that's primarily the type of work we do.
And you did the country club up in beautiful Huntley, I think it was. Wasn't that Huntley?
Del Webb.
If you ever cruising by the Del Webb facility off 47?
The Rec Lodge there.
Yeah.
And Eagle Brook is one of our projects as well.
Life is good.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to be dancing in the Dancing with Stars in February now that you're a new appointee?
I thought I would be judging, maybe.
Is that right? I see Elaine thinking, no way.
Yeah.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And we have a motion by Mr. Singer, a second by Mr. Hill. This does require a voice vote. A roll call vote. We usually take these votes, Doug, by secret ballot, just in case someone... But tonight, I think we're pretty confident it might be unanimous. So, Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Congratulations, Doug.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Look at that. Alyssa just taps you on the arm saying... That is awesome. Now, listen, that means you have to behave yourself, too. Your father's an appointed official.
I'll try.
Thanks. Item 3B, proclaim November 15 to the 21st as Geneva Student Government Week in the city of Geneva.
Hello, everyone.
Wow. There is a motion by Vogelsberg.
Second.
A second by Mr. Marks, and we have a distinguished gentleman with us today.
Yes.
Welcome to the podium. I didn't have to ask you to join us at the podium, so.
I'm Gary Lance.
It's the girls' cross country team.
What's that?
Nothing.
Okay. I'm Gary Lance. I'm the senior leader of student government, and Nicole Webber, who's the junior leader, could not be here tonight, but we are here to proclaim this week as American Education Week. And as part of American Education Week, we're having the student government job shadow program tomorrow, where we're going to have about 25 Geneva High School students come and shadow different city officials. I get to shadow a police officer, actually. But so that'll be a fun program. After that, we're going to have a roundtable discussion with different elected officials and school board members. So, cool stuff.
Very cool stuff.
And then I also have a proclamation proclaiming this week American Education Week, which I'll read now. Whereas public education is the backbone of our democracy, providing young people with the tools they need to maintain our nation's precious values of freedom, civility, and equality, and whereas by equipping young Americans with both practical skills and broader intellectual abilities, schools give them hope for and access to a productive future, and whereas public education employees work tirelessly to serve our children and communities with care and professionalism, and whereas public schools are the foundations of neighborhoods and communities, bringing together adults and children, educators and volunteers, business leaders and elected officials in a common purpose. Therefore, be it further resolved that we, the citizens of Geneva, Illinois, proclaim November 15 through 21, 2009 as the 88th annual observance of American Education Week. Thank you.
Well done. The city attorney said, please, Burns, don't read yours. So they're very similar, of course.
Yes.
So, questions or comments for Garrett, or I should say Mr. Lance? Anything at all? So, do you know which officer you're shadowing tomorrow?
I think his last name is Mexen.
Let me see if the chief is here. You think his last name is Mexican? You ever spent time in prison, Garrett?
No.
You may.
Oh, it was a big day for you.
Wow.
Yeah, oh yeah. You know, he's the chief of police.
Okay. Now I do.
Yeah. In fact, the kids who, the students last year who shadowed him as well are still in prison.
So, good ball.
Any comments for Garrett? You're a senior.
Yes.
Where are you off to next year?
I'm not sure yet, honestly. I've applied, but I've not gotten decisions yet. So.
What do you want to do, man?
Probably political science or journalism.
Or journalism?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's a lethal combination. You'll end up like this guy in the front row here, with a bright red shirt and a clip-on tie. God. That's a nice tie, by the way. Anybody from the dais? I have a proclamation that we get to exchange.
Okay.
And I think there's going to be a photo op.
All right.
Does that sound cool?
Yep.
Do you have students that you'd like to have join you as well?
I have no students with me tonight.
Wow. You must be the popular kid at the high school, is
it? Yep.
You have some other folks you want to introduce, though, don't you?
I have Miss Emma and Mrs. Buttle, who are my advisors.
And they have been advising this program for many
years. Many years. They're great.
Awesome. Anybody on the dais who helps you guys out?
All of you. Particularly Ms. Doggins, who's actually in charge of the student government program.
And doesn't Vogelsberg do something with this?
She also helps out.
Does she really? Awesome. Where do you live in town, Garrett?
The guy alone.
On 2nd Street.
On 2nd Street. Awesome. You ready to do this formal exchange?
Yes.
Are you? Isn't this exciting?
It's very exciting.
Isn't it? Look at that.
We'll stand over here so we can call it our photo. Look at that guy. I got the history.
Wow.
That awesome. I was sincere. I lost it. Turn that around. There you go. Look at that. Stand up straight.
Fake smiles.
This is sincere, man.
There you go.
Now he's talking about us.
Let me call the chief man. Let him know.
You know who it is. Let go. Hey, Garrett, there's a typo in yours, man. Hey, you spelled high school wrong.
I didn't spell it.
A voice vote is sufficient, ladies and gentlemen. We have a motion to approve American Education Week. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Well done. Garrett, well done, man. You're a fine representative. Hey, want to stick around and know who the deputy fire chief is? This is cool, dude. Yeah, he's the guy in the back standing up. Item 3C is to recognize Deputy Fire Chief Jerry Koster for 30 years of service to the city of Geneva. An extraordinary accomplishment, to say the least. Now, Jerry, you need to step forward to the podium because a lot of folks know of your work, but perhaps they don't know that it's actually you doing the work. And you want to introduce your special guest with you tonight?
Among my special guests. Thanks to my wife Jane, of course, who has put up with 30 years with me on the department, along with my family, my brother Mike, my brother-in-law Jerry, my sister Bonnie, Jane's mother, in fact, Jane's whole family. And thank you all for coming. This is this was kept very well secret from me for the most part, except when I got a copy of the agenda this morning. But other than that, it was very much a surprise with these folks all showing up.
Well, you know, when it was on the agenda, in fact, Melodra was surprised. He said, Jerry, who? Jerry Koster. So, Jerry, what is it exactly you do with the fire department? We all know because we're so impressed and in awe of your accomplishments, but for those watching at home.
I am the deputy chief. My primary function is fire prevention and has been my primary function for approximately 27 years.
That's wild.
It is true that I was around when cavemen invented fire, and after they did, I made them put it out. So I figured I'd beat you to the punch on the old joke.
That was no, heck no. I think people your age are cute.
Oh, that depends.
So when there's a new building in town being proposed, and that building is being designed and constructed, Jerry Koster makes certain that that building is designed in a way that has the appropriate fire suppression equipment there, on the off chance, God forbid, something should happen.
We are involved, and I am involved in projects from the ground up, from the planning and concept stages through the issuance of the occupancy.
Right. Jerry is very good at emails. you know, when someone perhaps is trying to either cut corners or perhaps expedite occupancy. We want to make certain that that building is safe for those who not only occupy it, but those, of course, who visit it. What's your most memorable experience thus far on the Geneva Fire Department?
There are so many. From chasing deer out of the river.
Chasing deer out of the river. No kidding.
The chief will explain that one to you sometime. There are so many memories, it's hard to pick just one. But I would like to say that I've been able to do my job for 30 years because of the both fire department and city staff that I have had the privilege of working with. And I am proud to serve with them.
It's very nice. Very nice. Excuse me. Who's your favorite mayor, Jerry?
Hands down, that would be...
There you go. You should have got a bigger cake. I feel bad now. Any questions, comments, accolades, suggestions from Mr. Koster from the dais?
Yeah, if I may.
Of course.
I've known Jerry for a goodly number of years, and he's always functioned in a very professional manner. And anytime I've had questions regarding issues in his department, he's always been very forthworth and very, a very concerning man about the conditions that exist and how to go about solving those issues. And a great deal of respect for you, and I admire you, and I congratulate you on the accomplishment of 30 years. I think that's just absolutely magnificent. So good luck to you, and I hope you're around for a few more years as yet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. We are very lucky to have you, and I've always admired the hard work that you've done until you've said no to some of the ideas I've had. But you have a great sense of humor, and no matter what fundraiser we want to have on what roof, you are able to say no, protect the city, and all with good humor. And really, everything, we've really admired your work. Thank you.
Thank you. You've always provided a challenge.
Yeah, it's got to be a little tough, right? City Council, Don Vogelsberg was actually in charge of the referendum that helped build the new fire station. Imagine that. You're just a wet blanket, aren't you, Koster?
Yes.
You just want to have parties on roofs and stuff, and man, that's a drag. The Kaiser's Fire. What was your role? What was your role in that?
I actually was.
Does everyone know what we're talking about?
Lencioni just left.
I was not actually. That was 1 year before I joined the
department. 1 year, so you were a suspect.
But I was there. No, I was actually, at the time, I was working for Ambulance 151, which was based out of Delmar Hospital, so we were called down to that.
Okay.
So, yes, I was there.
Amazing.
Still got a little set, but...
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. Well, Jerry, obviously we want to celebrate your accomplishments tonight. Clearly, a lot of your family and friends are here with you as well. So I will entertain a motion, but before I do so, we do have a little plaque for you, of course. This was actually made up several years ago. Stand back.
Wait, can't I say no to him for a change?
This is one of your brothers here, man. Are you armed?
Yes. Thank you.
Just going to light the candle.
That's right. Yeah, we didn't do candles, Jerry, because that would have been a disaster.
Now, when we have Art for All, for those of you visiting City Hall tonight, the artist's renderings on the wall are from our students throughout Geneva. And they hang for about 3 or 4 months, and we replace those with new pieces of artwork. And if you're ever here for an Art for All at City Hall celebration, this place is teeming with people, which of course makes Deputy Chief Koster and Chief Olson just sweat. Mm-hmm. And they've reminded me regularly to announce, as has I think the Mayor Pro Tem, where the fire exits are or what have you. So, again, with a buzzkill.
Do you know where they are?
I just follow Dantino.
He's a person.
Service recognition flag for Mr. Koster.
I'll be the first one.
This certificate is hereby awarded to Jerry Koster in recognition of 30 years of dedicated and distinguished service to the City of Geneva. Awarded this day, 16th day of November, 2009.
Congratulations. Thank you very much.
I will entertain a motion to recess while we devour some cake.
So nice.
Woo, look at that. Free food? Everyone motions? Everyone seconds? Sure. Let's enjoy Jerry's company and Mrs. Coster's company, and by all means, our guests with us tonight get the first slice. How's that? Isn't that good? This is a tough crowd, man. Please. The council can't eat because of, you know, gift act bans and stuff. You guys made
it. $74 piece.
He's changed it.
Yeah, I know. Just what I'll tell you. Winter sales.
Now they are.
He's the one that's taking them.
Thank you all for helping recognize Mr. Koster. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And special thanks to Mrs. Koster. Apparently she popped on the phone at 9 a.m. today.
Oh.
Those are the only people she could find. That's on TV now, too, I'm sure. Well, we move on, folks. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments tonight? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered by this city council to be routine because we've acted on those before and we voted unanimously. These items can be enacted with one motion.
So move.
Second. Motion by Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Hill. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollock?
Aye.
Robert Pfeiffer?
Aye.
John Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
We jump down to item 10, municipal bills for payment. I kindly ask our city clerk to please read the bills to be paid.
Bills for payment total $506,534.14.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read and as displayed on the city website.
Second.
There's a motion by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Flanagan, to pay the bills as presented and as appearing on the city's website. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollock?
Aye.
Robert Pfeiffer?
Aye.
John Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Item 11A, ladies and gentlemen, consider ordinance number 2009-35, granting exemptions and removing exemptions from special service area number 1, the taxation of certain rural properties within special service area number 1.
So rule.
Second.
Hill makes the motion. Singer makes the second. We anticipate a few questions and comments regarding this matter. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I need to recuse myself. Business I co-own is in one of the subject properties.
Alderman Vogelsberg is going to recuse herself on this matter. And traditionally, when an alderman asks to recuse him or herself, they actually leave the room, believe it or not. We often ask Alderman Vogelsberg to leave the room. So this is just really pretty much... There's actually a pizza parlor and an open bar back there, in case you're curious, so she'll be back there for a while. Anyone else? Questions or comments regarding this matter? Alderman Brown. Sorry.
Hill's there.
Alderman Brown, floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is not the same ordinance that we voted on in the COW meeting, I believe. There's been an addition to the exempt list. Is that correct?
That is correct, Alderman Brown, that we've added one name as a recommendation from staff in reviewing after the discussion at the last October, at the October 26th Committee of the Whole.
Yes, I still have two problems with that particular property. The first is, as incorrectly stated at the COW meeting, that it's not a landlocked property. It has a driveway to Campbell Street and a driveway to 3rd Street. And the other thing is I find no reason in the ordinance why we are allowed to exempt it. So I don't see why we do not have to change the ordinance first before we exempt it.
Okay. I guess I'll turn it over to city's attorney to answer that question.
I'm not sure exactly what you mean by not under the ordinance, because the
ordinance is
enacting
quite explicit.
The enacting ordinance for Special Service Area 1 that reestablished the district in 1997 stated that properties that were used for residential or otherwise exempt purposes could be exempted from the ordinance until such time as they were used for commercial purposes. So I believe it's the recommendation of the staff that particular property, it's the Karsh parcel, is that the one you're referring to, is a part of, it's a vacant lot, part of an adjoining her residence, and that's why the staff was making the recommendation that it be considered exempt as a residential parcel.
I thought the ordinance was quite specific as to exactly which properties could be exempted, and it did not cover empty properties that are his own business, and this one is an empty property that's own business.
I think we have other properties that have been zoned business that are, have been used for residential purposes in the past, and they have been exempted during those residential periods. For example, along James Street, there have been a couple parcels that have gone back and forth from a residential use to a commercial use, depending on who bought the property and who occupied it. So I don't believe zoning necessarily is the necessary criteria. It's the use of it. At least that's my recollection of past history, Alderman Brown.
The ordinance is quite explicit that its business properties are subject to the tax. Properties that are zoned business with well-delineated exemptions, and this is not one of the delineated exemptions, so that's why I was questioning. Thank you.
Thank you. From the dais, anyone else? Questions for Mr. Evans? Alderman Pollack?
Thank you, Mayor.
Jump to the audience, yes.
Paul, thank you for putting this together, and thank you for the presentation at the last meeting and answering the questions as best you could and your follow-up research regarding Mrs. Karsh's property. I mean, I think most of us had the opportunity to go by there and take a look at the property, and I think this is certainly an example where, you know, I'm not denying that with Alderman Brown, so there's a driveway that leads to Campbell and a driveway that leads to 3rd Street, but it's very apparent that this speaks for itself in terms of this is a vacant piece of property that really should be exempt. So, thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? This young lady here in the second row, Miss, welcome.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I am Elfrida Karsh, and am the owner of that property. Seeing is believing. If anyone that has not been at my property at 213, I believe a distance of maybe to 60 feet, which is the length of the property, north and south. It is in the middle of the block. The public would not have access from 3rd Street or Campbell except to go by easement. If it were a business or commercial area, and excuse me, I'd like to define the word commercial to you. Of pertaining to or engaged in commerce, commercial capitals, having profit as its chief aim, intended to be self-supporting, not having a subsidy, sponsored by an advertiser or supported by advertising, as we may know, what's a radio or television commercial. That is the definition of the word commercial. This property at one time in past history was a residence and was used as a residence. And I do not see that it would be viable as a commercial piece of property. You would have the public a hard time having access to it. And since I have lived there since 1986, I have lived there as a resident. I have conducted no business from either one of my parcels of property that I own there. Nor, I might add, have I received any of the benefits of the SSA tax, which I've been paying on for years. And if the benefits includes the beautification of Geneva, providing parking, and reconstructing the sidewalks and the street with the bricks that was done several years ago, I have not had that done, or it has not touched my property at all. If you can imagine, I am in the center of the block. I have businesses to the west of me, to the north. There are two residences that are on the east side of me, business on the south side of me. So my understanding of the ordinance is, and the way that it was worded, I have a choice of business or residential. As I said, past history shows that I have lived there for many years, and I enjoy my little island in the middle of the block. I'm right downtown in the heart of the business, and in the evenings when the shops close, I am there on my little island. If I have any questions, if you have any questions to ask me that I can answer, I'd be happy to do so. But unless you've seen my property, it's hard to imagine what it's like, because it's a very unique place. Thank you for your vote of confidence.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kirsch. Anyone else in the audience wish to address this matter? Anyone from the dais? Any additional questions or comments? Mr. Evans, anything else? Item 11A, there's been a motion by Alderman Hill. There's been a second by Alderman Singer. There's no additional questions or comments. I'll kindly ask our city clerk to take the roll. A simple majority succeeds in passing this recommendation.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Thank you all for participating in the discussion and the debate. Thank you, Ms. Kirsch. Item 11B, consider ordinance number 2009-33 to amend Chapter 10-1-5 of the Geneva City Code. And just a friendly reminder, Alderman Vogelsberg has rejoined the City Council. Is there a motion on item 11B?
So move.
Second.
Singer makes the motion, and Maladra makes the second. Are there any questions or comments for the building commissioner, Mr. Lencioni?
What the heck was that?
Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Lencioni, I've been asked by a couple of my constituents why this would cover a simple window replacement and a simple door replacement, when what it appears the code is really trying to protect against is people replacing a window frame or a door frame, which requires actually doing physical construction on the body of the house itself. Replacing a hanging door or the window insert requires nothing more than simple skills that many handymen have, and it's unclear why that has to be inspected.
All right. I think by the time we conclude here, I think I'll answer that question for you. First, I'd like to say that there was an article in one of the local papers this week, and as you read that article, you may have gotten the feeling that we are just now starting the process of requiring permits for window replacements in the community. That's not the case. We've been doing this for 2 years. Right now what we're doing is putting this in a codification form to put it in the local municipal code book. So I want to make sure that everybody understands that we have in fact been doing this already for 2 years. In fact, for those 2 years, we've issued over 183 permits for window replacements. And I did have two calls today asking if they were going to get a refund because of that article. And I said, no, we are, in fact, have been issuing permits. To the question as to why, there's a number of reasons why we would require permits for window and door replacements. Structural issues to make sure that the openings aren't getting any larger. If we're not part of the process, we will never know whether or not the openings are actually getting larger or not. So we need to be part of the process. Tempered glass issues. If someone's replacing a window in a bathroom, for instance, certain locations in that bathroom, those windows have to be tempered glass. We would like to make sure that if the customers are paying for tempered glass, they are in fact receiving tempered glass. And if it's not bid with tempered glass, we want to make sure that it is bid with tempered glass so that they do get the tempered glass in the areas that are required, such as landings on stairways, bathrooms, and the like. Energy efficiency, we want to make sure that the windows and doors that are going in will have the proper R value and U values as designed in the International Residential Code that the state of Illinois just adopted for commercial properties, and then it will start enforcing that on residential properties as of January 1st, 2010. We want to remain consistent within the community so that we're not having issues like it's required here, but it's not required there. It's, you know, as it's right now, it's required, or excuse me, before it was required in the historic district for permits for windows, and it was not required elsewhere in the community. We've since found out through the court process that we need to be consistent in the application of that requirement, that they be permits are required for window replacements throughout the community. Egress windows in bedrooms. We want to make sure that if that window is designed for egress purposes, emergency egress purposes, that window stays as an egress window. That doesn't mean somebody has a smaller window, smaller than 5.7 square feet. We're not going to require them to take it out and put a bigger window in. But if that window is 5.7 square feet, we're going to make sure that a new window going back in is 5.7 square feet or larger. Excuse me. We try to do one inspection on that during that process. We ask the contractors to call us or the homeowners call us when the project is either halfway through or they anticipate they're going to be halfway through, so that we can see what they've done, what they're doing, and what they're going to do throughout the process. I think you saw in your packet the survey results from the various communities that we tallied. And that survey results show that a number of communities did require a permit for windows, some of them only if the window size got larger. And I think there was three of them that didn't require permits at all. The average fee, as you see in your packet, is $59.66. One might ask, why is the average so low? Maybe those communities that are lower than we are have a different opinion about how they're going to finance their departments. User pays rather than the whole rest of the community paying. Do we have any questions so far?
Well, I understand the fee. I mean, your explanation of that was quite straightforward. I believe that if we decide to get into the practice of issuing a permit and inspecting the properties, it does cost us exactly what you calculated. My question was simply, and it was asked by people in my ward, if the ordinance had said window frame and or window or door frame, that would cover any situation where major surgery was being done on either a door or a window. But a simple door replacement or a simple broken window replacement where something is wrong with one half of the frame in a double hang window and you just want to replace the half of the double hang window, which is I've done it myself, I know it's easy to do. Why does that require a permit? You're not changing any physical aspect of the house at all.
That would not require a permit.
Under the ordinance it does, because it says window or door. It doesn't say window frame or door frame.
Window replacements, not repairs.
So your interpretation would be a window repair. What about just replacing the door, but not changing the door frame?
If you take the door,
I take the doors off quite often to
right.
do various things. To fix my weather stripping, I take them off and put them back on.
Sure.
It's a simple process.
If you just take the door slab off, but just the door itself off the hinges, and you replace another door, that does not require a permit. We're talking about a full installation with the jamb, threshold, door itself, stops.
So you would interpret that as a repair?
Yes, sir. Correct.
Well, if it's true that you replace, replacing a simple door, hung door, or a simple half of a double hung window that had a problem with it and needed replacing a split wood or something, if you interpret that as a repair and not needing a permit, then I guess I don't have a problem. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just a reminder to the council, there is a document on your dais that incorporates the language that we had requested Mr. Lanzini incorporate. Section 10-1-6, building permit fees. Section H, 14, window and exterior door replacements per project. Parenthetically, excluding door slab replacement. So it is spelled out very, I think, very straightforward. So.
Yes.
And Chuck, why don't you define for everyone what a door slab is as opposed to a full door replacement?
Yeah, a door slab is just the physical door itself without hinges, without door hardware, knobs, locks, latches, whatever you want to call them.
And frame.
And frame. It does not have the frame. It's just... I wish I'd have brought one with me.
Take that one off the hinges. That's exactly what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, if you take that door off the hinges, that's exactly what we're talking about. There's no frame involved. There's no hinges involved. There's no knobs. It's just a door slab. In the industry, it's called a slab, referred to as a slab.
Alderman Brown, anything else?
No, thank you.
Alderman Flanagan, Pollack, and Piper.
I guess I'm confused at Ordinance 2009-33 doesn't really talk about the door frames, et cetera, and the windows. And that's what we're voting on, correct?
That ordinance is comprehensive. Well, you've got two ordinances.
Yeah, right.
That ordinance is comprehensive because doors or windows, the replacement of them, would be other improvements as defined by the... by the building code.
I see you're talking about remodeled, structurally repairing, moved, or changing to real property located. I was just confused because I didn't know that this had anything to do with the doors and the windows.
Well, indirectly it does because it's part of the definition of those elements, structural elements of a home, which could be replaced.
Right. This is a very broad scope of what needs, what permits are required for, and it's done out of the international code, and it's done on purpose so that, you know, this takes in everything, swimming pools.
Yeah. Back to the doors and the windows, for some strange reason in my mind, the exterior door replacement, unless you're opening, enlarging that particular door replacement, that's where I think that this fee should be attributed to or tacked onto or a permit issued for. But in order for the door not to be changed in any way, I can't, even though, you know, if you're replacing the jamb, it should fit, correct?
Not necessarily. You know, it'll need shims, it'll need probably some 2x4s to depending on the width of the opening or sometimes the height of the opening. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be some carpentry involved with replacing a door or a door slab.
I just have, I guess, difficulty with the actual physical, I mean, the charge. And I understand that you outlined based upon your time.
That fee that I had in there was $71.35, I believe, was what it costs us in time, staff hours, vehicles, to take the permit in, issue it, and do all the inspections, and then log all those inspection back into the computer and close it out, so to speak.
And another question, if somebody was going to replace siding, in addition to replacing windows, in addition to replacing a door, would there be a permit issued for a charge for the siding, then a charge for the door, and then a charge for the window replacement? So would there be three charges as opposed to one charge?
No, most likely there'd be two, one for the siding and one for the windows and doors. You know, we try to take, in most cases, if we have the latitude in the ordinance to be able to do it, whatever's the cheapest, less expensive for the customer. There's also a provision in our ordinance that allows us to do things based on project cost. So if that project, if we calculate, you know, we've done that, where we've taken the project and said, okay, just how much is it costing? You know, let's say it's $7,000.
Yeah.
And we calculate it, and the permit fee for a $7,000 project might be $63. I'm throwing numbers off the top of my head.
You're not calculating.
I'm not calculating anything, but say it's $63. I said, well, it's cheaper than doing it, you know, two different ways, and it covers our cost.
Boom. It's nice of you to do it.
We try to do that when we have that latitude.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Alderman Pollack, then Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Mayor. Chuck, last week when I brought this up regarding the issue of the door slabs, I want to thank you for pointing out in this latest ordinance, 2009-34, that it will exclude door slab replacement. And based on your comments tonight, that this ordinance really only applies to quote-unquote structural elements. Is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't use that term only because that means we're taking headers out and putting new headers in. Structural is the two befores and the headers that support that opening. It's, you know, full door replacement is, I guess, how I would term it.
So
exterior door replacement.
Frame and jam?
Frame and jam.
Okay. And the only reason I ask is for clarification so that the residents of town understand that if there's going to be a frame and jam replacement, and I'll use the term, it's structural integrity. If it is all compromised, then a permit is required. But if you're replacing just the slab, not a problem. And then one question that I'm sure will come up, and that is, if someone's replacing a window, and that is just the a broken window, and they're going to replace the pane, that does not require a permit, correct?
Does not require a permit. That would fall under maintenance, ordinary maintenance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chuck, as we spoke this afternoon, a friend of mine had a question. I just want to have you make it clear to everyone. If someone is replacing their windows and due to cost they're replacing three at a time or four at a time, that $75 fee is a one-time fee, correct?
Yeah. I will work with them as, you know, as best I can. The permits last for a year if you haven't done anything. They can either call up and say, you know, I want to extend it another year. We've done that. If they want to do it, you know, over a two-year period, we'll work with them as best we can.
Okay.
You know, that's not my goal to rip people off. It's just right to cover our costs.
Yeah, and I appreciate the cost breakdown because, as we discussed in the last meeting, we subsidize a lot of things, and it's nice to see the costs, and they are what they are.
I don't want to make three trips out there.
Right. Well, and the point that I was making to people today was that's what the cost is if everything goes right.
That's correct.
If it doesn't go right, then we're into more.
Then we're into a reinspection fee concept, and then
that's
the ordinance already addresses that.
Right, exactly. And I'm sure it's going to even out at some point. One of the questions, and I know this is going to seem kind of a name, but it was asked of me, and I would like you to kind of explain it just because it's relatively simple. What is the resident gaining from us doing this? From having the building inspectors come out and say, okay, yes, we're taking a look at this. Could you just, you and I talked about it, if you could just give a quick,
I'm sure you'll say it better than I will.
Peace of mind that it's done properly. We will inspect it to make sure that when they pull that window out, or the old window out, or they put the new window in, that along the sides they're insulated, they're caulked on the outside. Same thing with the door. Make sure when the door goes in, we make sure that the headers are the proper size. Now, you take an older home that's, you know, built in 1840, may not have the proper header sizes. So at that point, we're going to, you know, see to it that there's proper header sizes in that opening. Again, as I talked about the energy efficiencies, make sure that they're getting what they're paying for.
Right.
If they're paying for a certain window that has an R value or a certain door that has an R value, they're getting that.
Right. And I think we also discussed a lot of it being people trying to stay away from the weekend warrior things, who's way out over his skis and is going to do something that's that's not going to last him. And as much as I would like to see the residents simply take responsibility for that, I think it's a bad plan long term.
You mentioned long term. I have to look at that as that home is in our community my entire career. They may not be living in that home my entire career. They may be only there for 7, 10, 15 years, and then somebody else is going to take on that home. I have to make sure that what they buy from this person was done properly. And we get a lot of calls now from realtors and attorneys in real estate closings and what have you. Were there permits for these projects? Basement remodels, window replacements, roofing, what have you. You know, we've got to go through our files and see if they were or no, they weren't.
Excuse me. Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mayor. So, Chuck, I'm glad you brought that up, Alderman Piper, about the comments about the second or third owner after the improvement has been made, either the windows or the doors. My concern is in the door area, and about how many doors have you had to issue permits for, just doors only, in the last year or so? Do you
last
recall?
2 years we've had five.
Five. So that's really not very many. I mean, it's minuscule compared to the windows.
Yeah.
And obviously a door can cause a lot of problems if they don't have the right headers in there and the right... right material.
You know, and we're not driving up and down the streets, you know, with binoculars trying to make sure that everybody's putting, you know, getting permits for their doors.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Hey, you're welcome. Alderman Vogelsberg?
Thank you, Mayor. Chuck, I appreciate the tweaking of the ordinance. I appreciate that you took the slabs out and even, you know, with the doors still left in, but that way people can just change the actual door out. And I appreciate that you're willing to work with people, because that's a part I think that got lost last week, that if you have a big project and you have to do it a little at a time, you will work with people.
Sure.
But we do need to cover our costs so the general fund doesn't keep subsidizing things, because then that's the one thing about the permits, which I know nobody wants to pay any more money when they're doing a project. But it is more of a user fee, so we're not passing the cost on to all the residents, just the ones that are actually able to make improvements. So thank you for working on that.
You're welcome.
Alderman Dantino.
Chuck, did I hear you say that you only issued five door permits in the last year?
That's correct.
You suspect there was more than five doors replaced in Geneva?
Yes, I believe there are probably more than five doors replaced. Again, we're not, no pun intended, we're not banging down the doors to find out what doors are being replaced.
How long have you been waiting to say that one?
Yeah, I got up before you set them up. It was a setup.
It was a setup.
Good job, Ralph.
You're the Dean Martin of this duo here. That makes you Jerry Lewis, Chuck. I wouldn't be.
Yeah, I did.
Oops. Anything else, Alderman Dantino?
No, that is it.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Marks?
Hey, Mr. Lencioni, when we talked this morning regarding this, you also stated that the state, and I just want to make sure I heard you right, that the state is actually requiring now the cities to look at the R values of what's going in on these items. That's coming for residential.
That's
in
correct.
January.
That's,
so, I mean, it's a state law that's telling us we have to check that.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
State law, the state has adopted the 2006 or the 2009, I don't remember exactly which one they did, energy efficiency code.
Okay. And that puts the onus on us to make sure that people are following that, which is also in regards to insulation when they build new buildings and stuff, which we normally don't check for now. Is that correct? Or we're starting?
We do now. We have started that now. We did not over the years. We didn't have the staffing levels to do that. You know, I've never seen, in the 25 years I've been here, I've never seen a house built that wasn't insulated. Other communities did do insulation inspections.
So it's something that we're going to have to do one way or the other, yes, starting January, because that's what the state law has required.
That's correct.
Okay. That's all.
From the dais, anyone else from the audience? Ms. Karsh. We're almost on a first-name basis now.
The question arises, since I live in a historical district, what effect would that have now? If I should want to replace my door, do I have to get permission from the Historical Society before, I mean, if I, you know, wanted to replace my door? How does that work now?
In the historic district, any work that's done on the outside, doors, windows, it has to be reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission, set up by the City Council, and that's currently in place. So they'd have to, you would have to submit the application. The application would go, excuse me, go to our Historic Preservation Commission. They'd review it for appropriateness in the district. And then if they approved it, we would issue the permit. I could also yield to our office.
The Historic Preservation Commission can only review those items that are required for a permit. So if the door slab, as you're voting on tonight, is not required for a permit, then you are able to replace your door slab without a permit. If you want to change your entire door surround, that requires a permit, so that would then trigger the need for HPC review.
Anyone else in the audience? Anyone else on the dais? According to my notes, we have a motion by Mr. Singer, a second by Mr. Maladra. This is item 11B, ladies and gentlemen. 11B, consider ordinance number 2009-33.
Just to point clear, we were mostly discussing 11C, weren't we?
Well, they're kind of married, but we have to vote on them separately.
All right.
That's what I was confusing.
Pretty much. That's why I think the operative word over the course of the last week and a half, so it was really house cleaning. This is a house cleaning measure. Yes, Alderman?
I just wanted to kind of clarify in my mind, actually 34 is discussing the price of that particular ordinance permit,
correct,
as opposed to 33 being the actual ordinance that specifies
the language itself.
Right.
And it does not specify specific ordinance. Well, 2009-33 is a general provision indicating the scope of for permits. It's not designed just specifically for doors and windows.
No, I don't even see it in there.
All right, very good. That's what we were talking about.
No, it's a very broad.
Right.
It captures a heck of a lot.
Right.
Which allows the building commissioner and his team, of course, to do their job more efficiently and effectively.
And flexibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
A simple majority rules the day. Mr. Clerk, kindly take the roll.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ray Pollack.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Motion item 11B passes unanimously. We're on to item 11C.
Thank you.
Which is consider ordinance number 2009-34 to amend chapter 10-1-6 of the Geneva City Code, a copy of which you have before you. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
I'm going to give that one to Piper, because I saw the enthusiasm is really overwhelming on the motion by Piper. And Dantino gets the second.
Singer.
You guys look so much alike. It's unbelievable.
Identical twins.
Your mother must be very rough. Hey, Mr. Singer, I think Ralph just made fun of you, by the way.
He usually does.
Mr. Mayor, which one's older?
Let's cut them in half and count the rings. We have a motion and a second.
Question?
Yes, Alderman Hill.
Chuck, I'm not sure this was asked and answered, but the cost of inspecting for an exterior door replacement, is that in the $71 range still?
$75.
$75.
Right.
The cost, I mean, the permit is $75.
Cost is the same. $71.35.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the dais from the audience? This is item 11C. Motion by Piper, seconded by Singer. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Marty Flanagan?
Nay.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollock?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye. Item 11C passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 nays. Thank you, Building Commissioner Lencioni.
Thank you.
According to my notes, ladies and gentlemen, we're down to item 13, new business. As always, we defer to the members of the audience with respect to any new business information, questions, comments, contributions, criticisms, what have you. So if there's anyone in the audience tonight,
thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you. City Council, my name is Dwayne Ost. I've been a resident of Geneva for the last 11 years.
Mr. Ost, just for the record, we do this traditionally just to ask for your address.
1925 El Dorado.
Thank you, sir.
And lived there for a little over 10 years, 11 years, and I want you to know, and I want the City Council to know that my neighborhood stinks now. And the reason it stinks is because of the Burgess Norton plant. And near as I can tell, we've gone for 2 or 3 months, depending on the prevailing winds, of getting the smells from this plant. And what I'm looking for is I need the City Council to help the residents of your city, and my city too, do something about this. After talking to Bob Piper and some other individuals, I actually talked to the CEO of Burgess Norton and a couple other people within their organization, got a fix on what the problem is within their plant. And to be honest with you, I don't care what the problem is. I've got problems at work. They have problems at work. And when I talk to them about what's being pumped out of that plant from an odor and a particulate matter standpoint, they don't know. Jose Mora, who is the state EPA advisor out of Elgin, actually doesn't know either. We've got a couple of sites as to, or a couple of feelings as to what they think the problem is, problems with oil. And when I talked to their CEO, he told me they have MSDS sheets, which are material safety data sheets. That's not what MSDS sheets are used for. They can be pumping anything out into the air. MSDS sheets within a plant environment are supposed to be there for first responders, that if you splash something on yourself or you get it on your clothes or on your skin, what are the first things that you're supposed to do? That's what they're there for. Quite frankly, we don't know what's being pumped out into the environment. And I have to tell you that I'm really irritated for the last couple of months, 2 or 3 months, to have to sit with my windows closed to watch the kids up and down through our neighborhood not be able to play outside, and my kids included, because it stinks. Now, I know that the City Council's been working with Burgess Norton, and to be honest with you, the communication from the City Council and from the city to the residents in this matter, it's not been good. The way I found out about what the stink was and what was is reading it in the neighborhood newspaper, and I, like probably a lot of the people from the city, went, oh, we're not nuts. It's not the decay. It's not a little stream. It's not whatever it is. We've got somebody in our city that's pumping junk out into the air. And, you know, we've had to sit different times depending upon the prevailing winds with our doors and windows closed. It's not what I moved to Geneva for, and I would imagine if this was going on. And it's probably happened to people here, too. And, you know, when I talk to Burgess Norton, I work in the manufacturing environment myself. I understand the process, and I understand it really well. And when I talk to the CEO, he says the right things, and he says that we need until the 18th. You know, I'm counting down the hours, because I don't want to put up with the stink anymore in the city, and I'm looking for you people to help me hold this plant and hold this CEO accountable for elimination of the odors. If Burgess Norton was pumping stuff out into the stream, into the Fox River, you guys would be all over him to stop him immediately. He's
pumping stuff, that company's pumping stuff into the air that nobody here knows what it is, and they don't know what it is either.
And I want it stopped by the 18th. Now, you know, I'm not totally deaf or uncaring about the work environment. Burgess Norton was here before I moved into the neighborhood. I understand that. They've been here since before World War II. But they have a responsibility under some good neighbor responsibilities. If you're going to be in the neighborhood, you got to be a good neighbor. You know, if I were polluting or throwing weeds over the fence to you, you guys would want me to be the same good neighbor. They have alternate routings. They have other places to manufacture this. So I want the city council, number one, to really understand what the problems are that's created in the neighborhood. Number two, I'd like you to stand and work with the city and the people living in the city to hold this company and hold the CEO accountable for what's going on in the neighborhood. Years ago, I'm old enough to remember. Does anybody remember who Jim Phillips was?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was an Oswego. He was the Fox who did some kind of, I mean, very early environmental terrorist, I guess, who would take fish guts and place them at people's doors. And you know, I'm not a green guy. I'm not an environmental crusader. I just want to sit in my backyard. And I was telling Bob, I got a son at Iowa right now, and I went down into the man cave to play his Xbox last night. And when that Xbox is going, the air started circulating, and I got the Burgess Norton smell in my basement. And, you know, enough is enough. So I'd like, you know, I want to urge the city council, and I want to urge everybody here to hold them accountable to the 18th. And my only action after this is if the city council can't move or legally can't move, is we'll see a cease and desist order in court to get them to stop the use of that machine. I'll take a look at federal EPA standards to get them to stop using the machine. And I'm just hoping I can have your support in doing that.
Thank you, Mr. Ost. I'm certain there are some comments from the council regarding your comments, but first I'd like to provide not only you, but others, of course, watching, and others who might have a similar concern, some additional information that I hope you'll find not only instructive, but informative. Should I turn to Director Unsher, Building Commissioner Lencioni? I'm not certain whom. So. And just for the record, we do stand with you, Mr. Ost. We stand in lockstep with you. I live in the downtown area. You're right. The odor is sometimes pungent. And I can also state emphatically and without hesitation that the folks at Burgess Norton probably share your frustration as well, because it's the last thing they want is their neighbors, who have been their neighbors for umpteen years, to all of a sudden start questioning their good neighbor policy. So it is a frustrating situation. Mr. Lencioni.
Yeah. We have we spent some time narrowing this down as to where it was originating from, and with the prevailing winds, it was you know, we couldn't just go right to one place, because we had it on the east side, we've had it on the west side, north side, south side. Between Deputy Chief Koster and myself, we finally nailed it down to it was coming from the Burgess Norton plant number one on 737 Peyton Street. And that was due to at the time, they were using a oil product in their processing of these piston pins, and they shut the product, the process down for a few weeks, and when they did, that oil went rancid, and then they fired it back up again, and they weren't really smelling it, and neither did Deputy Chief Koster and myself. We went in the plant and didn't smell it inside the building, but we could smell it outside. They have since changed that oil completely out, washed, scrubbed everything down, and got a different oil. It's gotten a little bit better, but not much better. And it's not acceptable to us, and it's not acceptable to Burgess Norton as well. The 18th, they worked over the weekend, and by the 18th, they should have a HEPA-type system installed. And my understanding is they're going to have some water with this HEPA type filtering system, and that should eliminate the problem. They have on two occasions shut the plant, or not the plant, they've shut that process down because it was an issue. I can assure you that I've had probably, I'd venture to guess, at least 100 contacts on this via email or phone conversations from all the way from Peckin 64. I had a phone call from. So I understand where you're coming from, and we want to see it stopped as well. And that's, I think, I'm pretty confident that they'll have that done by the 18th.
So the installation of the equipment that Burgess Norton and their parent company, Amstead Industries, is installing, that will eradicate the problem.
Solve the problem.
And once the equipment is installed on the 18th, is that an immediate eradication, or does that take a couple days? Because I've seen the emails as well, obviously.
Yeah.
In fact, I owe Mr. Ost a phone call, but I have employed my TCFs, which means tech, or TFW, is my tech-free weekends, so I can enjoy my life. But the 18th arrives, the equipment is installed, and we all start having the Claritin commercials, or is it?
It should be cleared up. And just for the record, I live a block away. So I have smelled it as well. It's not hazardous, I can tell you that.
You can't tell me that. You don't know. You can't tell me that. You don't know what's being discharged from the plant. You don't know. They don't know. And I want to know if it's on the 19th and I come home and I smell that in my driveway again, what's the city council going to do?
Well, see, that's why I asked the question, Mr. Rose, because... And I want to choose my words very carefully. The city staff, along with Burgess Norton, and Burgess Norton does deserve some credit because they're the ones who said, yep, it's us. No question about it. We want to work with the city to solve this problem. For Burgess Norton to solve the problem, it requires approval from their parent company, Amstead Industries. They've gotten that approval. They're going to install this equipment, which is obviously costly. If it works the day one, life is good. If it doesn't, we still continue to focus on resolving the issue. No question about it. Is the city of Geneva going to contact the EPA, the feds, file a lawsuit? Not under my watch, we're not. We're going to work cooperatively, as good neighbors should, to resolve this issue, pure and simple. So I just want you to understand where we stand.
I just want you to understand, too. I'm not going to leave villagers down here with pitchforks.
No, of course not. No.
I'm telling you right now that this is...
That's a concealed weapon. Pitchforks are illegal.
No, I'm not turning them on the outside.
I'm just kidding.
I've talked to the people in the plant. I've talked to Jose Mora, who is your Illinois EPA individual that you're working with, and they don't understand. I think changing the oil was the initial step.
Correct.
Talking about the enclosure to the BTA driller,
correct,
number one, and having a negative airflow in there, and then bringing it back out. If this doesn't work, I got to tell you, I'm really unwilling to spend another 3 months going through this thing. The responsible thing for Burgess Norton to do is to shut it down, outsource to someplace else, and let the neighbors in Geneva breathe clean air again. That is the responsible thing to do. Whether Amstead Industry is nice enough to fund a capital project so you're not polluting my neighborhood, I'm sorry, I'm not impressed by that.
Well, again, you choose to use the words pollution, which I can't simply endorse because I don't believe it's pollutants, based on the information they provided the city of Geneva.
Based upon what Burgess Norton provided you from their MSDS, you don't know what's being gassed out of that plant. You don't know. And that's what I'm trying to do. You're going to tell me with certainty, let me flip it on the other side. Can you guarantee me that it's not hazardous or destructive to any of our children or any of our homes? I don't understand why everybody here doesn't have that same level of concern.
Actually, sir, we do have that same level of concern.
Well, then
I own a property four blocks from Burgess Norton. I have three daughters. Mr. Ost?
Yes.
You are not well informed. Pure and simple. The fact of the matter is we have been working with Burgess Norton day and night on this issue. Deputy Chief Coster, Director Unch, and Building Commissioner Lencioni are assigned as our point people. They have kept us well informed. Burgess Norton has held an open house. We have direct communication with the CEO and their other staff trying to figure out what the hell is going on. No question about it. What we don't need no disrespect to you, sir, is people alarming everybody else because somebody had their Xbox game interrupted. Now, Ms. McKittrick, the floor is yours.
Mr. Mayor, I think you covered most. I just wanted to let you know that staff had a meeting on this morning, and I ask our Community Development Department to follow up tomorrow morning with BN Burgess Norton and to find out what the status is, if they're still on track for the 18th, and also to let them know about the concerns that we've heard from the residents so that they're aware that it's not just the surrounding neighborhood, because initially they had met with the adjacent neighborhoods, and now we're hearing from neighborhoods further away. And then also to let them know that we'll be following up with them after the 18th, just to see what the remediation is and how that's working, as well as in the upcoming weeks as well. So I just wanted to assure Mr. Rose too that we are on top of this. We are working with them, and I believe that they are working in earnest to solve this problem as well. Thank you.
Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Ost, your concerns are certainly heard, and this is something that we've been dealing with now for a number of weeks. I live on the east side of town, and my wife and daughters go to work at, my wife works at Geneva High School, my daughters go there, so I too have smelled it. I'm concerned when you say Burgess Norton, by their own admission, doesn't know what's being discharged. I understand there's going to be the installation of a HEPA filter, but that really doesn't do anything for us other than mask what we don't know of what is being discharged. Certainly, this administration wants to do the right thing. I understand that the IEPA is not involved at the request by the request of the city. We have not contacted them.
No, do not misinterpret my statements. We have never contacted the IEPA.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
So we've not contacted IEPA, but the city in the past has contacted IEPA for situations, so it's not that we're not unaccustomed to doing it. We will if we have to. Let's hope that this HEPA filter works, because if it doesn't, there's a problem. And what I'm saying is there's a problem now, and we need to know what it is. We just can't cover it up. So hopefully this will work.
I'd like it to work.
So let's see. Thanks, Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else on the dais? Mr. Maladra.
Well, I think you covered everything I wanted to say about the pollution angle. I was getting a little bit nervous about where we were going with that, because I think that if we don't know what they're letting go into the air just because it smells, we also don't know what they're letting go into the air when it doesn't smell, and I assume you care about that as well, right? Although it hasn't been a problem for the previous 11 years, right?
Because that process has only been in
Understood.
For a short period of time.
Yep. What I would recommend for staff, in addition to contacting Burgess Norton tomorrow about is the equipment on track, et cetera, et cetera, I would start talking to them about contingency plans today. Not contingency plans after they bring it in on the 18th, turn it on, and it doesn't work. And so I think if you could bring forth to everybody here, here's plan A, here's plan B, here's the timeline for plan B, et cetera, that'll go a long way towards letting everybody know what is the fact that we are working with them to get it resolved.
And Craig, let me assure you as well that I'm in town all this week, so I will be participating in these visits and or meetings with the commissioner and the director and the deputy chief and whomever else. So, and I've been in contact with our friends at Burgess Norton as well. And it's refreshing when a corporate citizen says, yeah, this sucks.
Yep.
But doggone it, we're trying our darndest to resolve the issue. Please work with us. And working with Burgess Norton does not mean we turn our heads and say, eh, don't worry about it, take your time. Because I can assure you, Mr. Ost, if they're releasing, quote, potent chemicals into the air, screw them. We'd shut them down tonight. Absolutely. So please don't misinterpret our good citizen policy with somehow being lackadaisical, because we're certainly not. So
I understand.
Okay. Anyone else? Director Runch, do you have anything you want to add, or Mr. Kilberg?
Could you just clarify the date? Because all you said is the 17th or 18th.
It's the 18th.
November, or is it?
Yeah, 18th of November, 2 days from now.
Yeah,
2 days from now, which is ironically the National Smokeout Day, I believe. I think. Anyone else? This is still new business. Oh, Alderman Bogelsberg?
On a different topic?
Sure, yeah. Under new business, wide open.
Oh,
yes, sir.
I have an...
Good evening.
Welcome. I recognize you from TV.
Yes, I've been on a couple times. If you could pass that down.
I think it was America's Most Wanted, wasn't it?
Only twice.
Twice. I recognize you from the SPAC meeting. The SPAC meeting.
Yeah, I wanted to thank the... if you would pass it down, I appreciate it. I wanted to thank the Strategic Planning Advisory Committee for inviting me to speak at their annual meeting. It was interesting.
And your name, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. Don Deers. I live at 1619 Kime Circle, Geneva.
Welcome. I think last time you spoke, the podium was faced that way, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. And I was sitting over there.
Yes, I know.
But anyway, it was a very interesting meeting. Unfortunately, the Geneva Republican, in their op-ed piece or their editorial, misrepresented some of what I said, which isn't surprising. I understand that. But I did want to clarify one item, because I'm sure you're waiting with a bit of the breath, that I really am not, as an individual, opposed to the city investing in the Rosemont wind farm. I think my comments at that meeting were that I would hope that the city would get the best deal it could.
Correct.
For the residents of...
You mean Roselle.
Rochelle. However, I am concerned, and was concerned, my main part of my talk that evening was the possibility that our national energy policy would be based on cutting CO2 emissions 80% with cap and trade. And that would be a terrible event for the United States. It would lead to loss of jobs and a lower standard of living. And the memorandum that I just handed to you establishes, at least for the electrical sector, why there will be a shortfall of electricity of 24% overall, or 50% per capita, if we follow a national energy policy based on cutting CO2 emissions. So I thought you would be interested in that. Also, this will be sent, or is being sent, to all the congressmen, senators, and House members, and so forth, and to leading editors of papers and magazines around the country. So I thought you should be forewarned in case you might get somewhere, somebody might ask you a question, whether you've ever heard of this or not. So anyway, I have a lot of experience in that area, and obviously, if anybody ever has any questions, I'd be very glad to sit down and go through that memo or anything else that you might be interested in.
You know, Mr. Deers, let me just say that I was traveling when the SPAC meeting was held. However, I had the pleasure, like I'm certain most of the council members and most of the community, to watch that meeting on Channel 10.
Right.
And the purpose of that SPAC gathering was, I think, in essence, to be provocative in terms of the different sides of the debate.
Right.
And I thought you did a great job of providing information that made a lot of people think.
Good.
And I suspect that the meeting was defined as a success because of that.
So, I certainly hope so, and I enjoyed it.
You did a great job. You really did. In fact, all the participants did a great job.
So, it was a lot of fun.
It was very well done.
So I thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Deers.
Mr. Deers?
Yeah.
Sir, can you be contacted at this 703 area code?
Yes, that's my cell phone.
Okay. Thank you.
That makes it easy, because I'm out of town or something else.
Okay. But you're still consulting as well, aren't you?
I do a little bit, but I'm president of a not-for-profit in Virginia, so that keeps me busy.
Is it energy-related?
Yeah, our focus is on energy issues.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Any other new business?
Alderman Vogelsberg?
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to congratulate our own Alderman Hill and his wife Carolyn for winning the Wood Award, which is, we all know, for longtime community service to Geneva. So it's a huge honor, and congratulations, Sam.
Well done. Thank you very much, and I appreciate the support from the city council, the city staff, and the residents of Geneva and the Chamber of Commerce who gave us the award. And it was a wonderful evening, a wonderful experience, and an honor to be named as the third couple to be awarded that. The first two were the Woods families. So thank you very much.
Alderman Polak.
Thank you, Mayor. Sam, I also wanted to echo my congratulations to you and Carolyn. I know that you and Mrs. Hill really deserve the award, so congratulations. I'd also like to thank those members of the City Council who have stopped by to visit Alderman Dakota, who is recovering nicely at Del Nor and will soon be moving on to Marion Joy. So thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Any new business at all? Other than a collective embarrassment of my daughter Emma, who today turns 20 years old.
Oh.
Isn't that scary?
You must be old then.
Motion to censure Alderman Vogelsberg for. She's out tonight with her college friends, so God willing, and a creek don't rise, she'll return tomorrow. So, with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by, we'll give that to Paul Ag, seconded by Marks. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Good night.